Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 98.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Straight up, here's something nice someone said about us. And I think this may be my favorite review of all time. I'm a 50-year-old woman and have never listened to a podcast. My hubby sent me a link to a money episode of Straight and Curly last week. Now I'm addicted and love listening to Kelly and Carly.
Oh my God, that's so cool. We actually have a lot of listeners who are in their 50s, and I always wonder why, because I kind of feel like you guys know all this stuff already and we learned everything we know from you, but
Same. Like to me, 50-year-olds are kind of like the grown-ups of my peer group. And so I'm always like, I'm going to ask a grown-up about this.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm 40, turning 41 this year, so I've got a lot of 50-year-old friends. So just so that people know, I do not think 50 is old. But, yeah, it's interesting to me that so many 50-year-olds listen to us. So whatever the reason, I do think it's cool because, yeah, our listenership does seem to span from people fresh out of school right through to people in their 50s.
We've even got some teenagers. We've got like high school kids that listen to us. It's awesome.
I know. I just think it's cool that whatever we're doing seems to appeal to such a wide age group. I think I love it. So Carl's first segment for the week is I just love this because it's like kind of so much pressure on Carly to come up with something cool and funny. So
oh, it's not that much pressure for me at all. I'm very weird.
So what is your random thing of the week?
Okay, so this one's really weird. You guys are going to love this, actually. So we live right near our neighbor, like we live literally, we can see his front door from our little courtyard. And we hear this soaring sound every morning at about 8 a.m. It just goes ring, 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 ring. And it's definitely him soaring something, but it only happens for 15 seconds. But it's every single morning and sometimes late at night as well. We've got absolutely no idea what it is and what on earth requires 15 seconds of soaring every single day. But he's either like very slowly soaring a giant tree in half or doing something just completely random. Because I was thinking that if he was soaring something really thin, like maybe he's a model maker and he has boats or something and he's doing like little masts for them. But we've been living here for 3 months and it's every single day. How many masts are you putting on your boat? Like, we've been through all the possible scenarios, cannot figure out what it is. It's definitely soaring. So yeah, that's my random thing of the week.
Okay. So I'm going to need you to knock on their door and find out what that is because, like, I mean, that's what I would do because I don't like mysteries. I need to know. But I
don't make friends with my neighbors, so knocking on the door would require me actually talking to one of my neighbors, and I don't do that.
The thing is, though, it's never what you think. Like, so you convince yourself it's a certain thing. I don't know if this is a me thing or an everything thing, everyone thing, because, okay, so here's something random about me. I actually have slightly impaired hearing in that I can't hear properly out of my right ear because the eardrum got damaged by something was eating it when I was a kid and, you know.
Oh,
yeah,
gross.
Totally gross.
Was it like, sorry, in my head I was thinking like it's like a bug or a tiny rat or something.
Was just something.
Like, or was like it bacteria?
Well, I want to say grommets, but I don't think that's it. It was like something was literally eating away at the eardrum and this is just before – some listeners may not know, I was born in the West Indies in the country of Trinidad and Tobago and we left, that's where my parents are from, that's where I'm from, and we left when I was 9 and like I had this first operation just before we left and that took away the thing that was eating the eardrum. And then when we moved to Australia, they did kind of 2 more operations trying to repair it and never worked. And every time I had an operation, I was like 6 months out of sport. So I was like, by the third one, I'm like, I'm not doing any more operations. I can hear well enough. I don't need to do this anymore.
You're just like, I'm happy to be
deaf.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's cool. Or I'm totally fine except in a pub where everyone's just yelling and I just have to lip read, or if like there's kind of heaps of background noise like restaurants and stuff. But other than that, totally fine except I cannot place where a sound comes from. So, you know, to me something will sound like it's come definitely from the front of the house, like a loud crash or something. And I'll go, oh, my God, Aunt, what's that? And he's like, oh, this thing happened at the back somewhere. And I'm like, no, it was from the front. And he's like, nope, from the back. So there you go. There is something completely random about me, and I'm very proud to have something random to contribute to these conversations. So yes, on to our next segment, which is that if you were our best friend, we would tell you segment. Carls, what's something that a listener wants?
So today's This comes from Sarah, not her real name. She asked, a few months ago, I moved with my family to a new city and I was feeling a bit socially lost. I was keen to join a local book club, so I put out some feelers on Facebook and a lovely local lady said she thought her group would be okay with a new member. We met up so she could suss me out and then tell the group I wasn't crazy, and it went really well. I felt like I'd made a cool new friend, and she invited me to a few more regular-ish social things in addition to book club. Yay. I haven't been able to attend any of these events yet due to other commitments, but I'd really like to join this little local girl gang. Problem is, this cool new friend's best friend is married to a guy I went out with for about 6 months, roughly 20 years ago. He wasn't a significant ex to me, and although I liked him quite a lot, he isn't someone I've thought about much in the intervening years. Chances are, if I continue this cool new friendship, our paths will cross, and at the very least, I will likely get to know his wife. My initial thought was to lightheartedly bring it up to either cool new friend or cool new friend's best friend as a funny small world is what I was trying to say. And now I love the word smutty, and I'm going to try and figure out what smutty would be. I feel like it would be – okay, so smutty is like smutty money.
Smutty funny. So it's kind of just smutty, like – funny.
No. Smutty money. This is completely unrelated to what I just said. So it's smutty is smutty money, and it's like the money that you spend on things that you just kind of like, yeah, I did that. You just like on a ridiculously expensive handbag that you don't need, that's kind of a little bit ugly, but you just did it anyway because you could. Like that's what you spend your smutty on. Anyway, sorry, back to the point. As a funny small world anecdote, and hopefully leave it at that, but I don't know if that would have me on the out before I was even really in. What would Kelly and Carly do?
Oh, this is the totally easiest answer in the world. So you should totally bring it up now, because if you don't and it comes out, people will think it's really weird that you didn't mention it before, don't you think, Carls?
I totally think definitely bring it up now. I think the longer you leave it, the more it will seem like a bigger deal than it is. I do think you should bring it up with the cool new friend first, but don't mention it to the wife unless she brings it up, because you don't want to be like, hey, shagged your husband 20 years ago. What up, girlfriend? Like, no one really wants to hear that. But to the friend, you can be like, oh, my God, this is really random, blah, 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 blah. And then best friend will be like, oh, my God. And then they can have the conversation about it.
Leave it to the best friend to decide whether she needs to know or not. That's what I think.
Yeah. And also just if the wife of the guy is listening randomly, or anyone in a similar situation, it is totally okay to be friends with people who have shagged your husband. It's very fine. Not while you've been with them, obviously, unless you feel okay with it, in which case be friends with them. But being friends with someone who used to date your husband many years ago, totally fine. Like, don't overthink it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't overthink it. Perfect. So recommendation of the week from both of us. I'm going to go first. And my recommendation of the week is any book by Bill Bryson. Have you ever read Bill Bryson, Carls?
I have. His stuff is very, very good. So good. His stuff is great in audiobooks.
Yeah, it would be. So, like, he has always been my comfort read. And so, like, the other day I was feeling a bit sad about something, so I just, like, went to my bookshelf and pulled down. I always tend to read Down Under, because that's the one about Australia, and it's so good and it's so funny. But I have read Down Under about 20 times. So I was like, okay, I'll read a different Bill Bryson book. And so I'm very interested in, like, big long hikes at the moment. So he wrote a book called A Walk in the Woods, I think it's called. It's up on my dresser, so I can't check. But he walks the Appalachian Trail with his friend Stephen Katz on the east coast of America. And honestly, just reading it, he is so funny. He has the best turn of phrase. He has this very droll and dry way of looking at the world, and he just sucks you straight into the moment, and you, like, I laugh out loud. Like, I'm in bed literally laughing out loud at some of the things that he writes, and it just cheers me up every time. So yes, he has the best sense of humor and turns of phrase. As a writer, I appreciate him on a storytelling level, but on a reader, I just love him because he always cheers me up. So Bill Bryson, recommendation of the week.
I second that recommendation. My recommendation this week is Rooibos tea. So I've been having sleeping issues again. Yay. So I've cut back on caffeine and I totally forgot about the existence of Rooibos because I was looking for decaf tea at the supermarket, but you can only get like one kind of decaf tea and you have to buy 400 tea bags of it. And I'm going, it's just too much of a commitment. Why are you doing this to me? And then I saw this little packet of Rooibos and I was like, I freaking love Rooibos tea. So I have that with like a little splash of milk after dinner and it's just good. Everyone knows I love my milky tea and being able to have caffeine-free Rooibos before bed is lovely. The topic that we are discussing this week is non-negotiables. So a non-negotiable is the stuff that you have to do every single day to keep yourself functioning. It could be physical, mental, emotional, but it's a thing that's completely not negotiable to your day. And we'd obviously love for you to tell us your non-negotiables when you finished listening to this episode and we'll put a reminder in the group. But Kel, what are your morning non-negotiables?
Okay, so I do get up at 4:15 a.m. and if I sleep in, it's till like 5 or 5:30 a.m. And I know this is dumb and I know people are freaking out, but the thing is I have always been an early riser. And the most important part of the whole getting up early thing is I get up before the rest of the house. The time itself does not matter. I get up at 4:15 because I like a lot of me time. So that's how early I've got to get up to get the amount of me time that I need. So like, especially with kids, the morning hours I need quite desperately because, yeah, our house is full and there's too many people talking to me all day and making decisions all day. So I need those early morning hours. Otherwise, I literally can't function. I use those early morning hours for writing and exercising. And writing and exercising are kind of also my daily non-negotiables. And I also enjoy being able to wake up slowly and move into my day slowly because I find that how my morning pans out is how my whole day pans out. So in order for my day to be chilled and feel like it's under control, I need that kind of slow start to the morning and then tick off my exercise and tick off my writing and I've had my me time and then, yeah, come 7 o'clock, I'm ready for my family to talk to me. And if I do – and, you know, if on those – you know, and I get up at that early on weekends as well and if – I find if I get up at like, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock because I don't know, we've gone out the night before or something and I get up at the same time as everyone else, I pretty much hate everybody in my house by lunchtime. So it's just not worth it for me. So, Carls, what about you in the morning?
My main one is exercise every morning. If I skip my workout, I just don't feel focused or grounded. And this is actually quite a new thing. I've always exercised 4 to 5, sometimes 6 times a week for the last 15 years, but it would always vary. So sometimes if I was doing a boot camp, I'd go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then in the afternoons, I'd go for a walk or something like that. It's just been in the last 2 years of doing F45 that it's been a non-negotiable every single morning. So for example, if I'm sick or I had a really bad night's sleep and I decide to skip the gym in the morning or go later in the day, I just feel rubbish. So I also find it really hard working out in the afternoon because when I go first thing in the morning, I hardly notice it. But in the afternoon, after I've eaten food, I'm tired, I'm cranky, it's just horrible. And the other day I went in the afternoon and because I don't eat before the gym in the morning because it makes me feel sick and I also I do intermittent fasting, so I don't eat until midday. So I get up, I go to the gym at 7:30 and I don't eat until midday. I had a piece of toast in the afternoon, like a piece of protein toast with some peanut butter half an hour before the gym. And I had like the biggest stitch and I just felt gross. I just don't think I can exercise with food in me anymore. I was like, I'm just so used to not doing that. And yeah, like it's really horrible. So, another thing that's really important, as well as the morning exercise is drinking a full liter of water in the morning. I struggle with that when the temperature drops, but I'm concentrating really hard on not letting it slip. And I used to think that I was drinking enough water through F45, but you're so busy, you don't really have time to drink enough water in an F45 session. So I make sure when I get back to my desk, I fill up my liter of water and I have about that when I get back to my desk. And any, because I wake up with a headache most mornings because I'm dehydrated. Mm. And when I drink my liter of water, it's gone in 20 minutes.
Interesting. Yeah. I actually, too, also like my first thing I do when I get up is so when I'm browsing through, you know, I give myself like 15 minutes to browse through Facebook and Instagram. And while I'm doing that, I'm drinking like two giant glasses of water with a squeeze of lemon. We have a lemon supplier. It's a guy and it's Jim. He like just drops off. He's got like a lemon tree that just
it's
so great. Like he has a, you know, a lemon tree that just produces lemons all year and he can't get rid of them. So he just like drops off a bag for us every week. It's the best. So we don't have to pay a dollar a lemon at the shops. But yes, I too have two big glasses of water and I do feel it sets me up for the day and doesn't allow me to get dehydrated. Workday non-negotiables. So I'm going to be a bit controversial here, guys. I always get my inbox under control first, and I know.
Of course you do, Kelly. Of course you do. I wouldn't expect anything
yeah,
less.
Yeah, and when I email Carly and Carly's like on this new thing of like not only answering emails at certain times of the day and she doesn't get back to me straight away and then I think she's dead and then I don't get to do anything for the rest of the day because I'm worried about her being dead.
She emailed me like three times in a row the other day. She was going, Carly, I just did you get my email? And I was just like, it's okay, Kelly. It's been like 2 hours since you emailed me. Just chill.
Don't set standards that you're not going to keep up, okay? Just saying. Anyway, so I know it goes against what all the productivity people say about, you know, you shouldn't worry about your inbox. You should do your most important job of the day first, but I cannot concentrate on that job if my inbox has not been taken care of. So I get it under control. And then I am free to methodically work through my to-do list for the day. And so one major non-negotiable is making an actually realistic to-do list. And I also always get away from my desk at lunchtime. Like even if it's only for 15 minutes, I do make the effort to get up from my desk and like sit outside on the back deck or just, you know, sit with the newspaper or something. And yeah, just get away from a screen for 15 minutes at lunchtime. How about you, Carls?
My main one is scheduling has been a huge thing for me. So I always schedule my day the night before. Otherwise, I sit down at my desk in the morning and go, what should I do today? Which really isn't fun when you're someone who I have several clients. I've got a podcast. I have a blog. I have a crochet business. Like there's just so much stuff that happens in my life. So I could sit down on a Wednesday and be like, well, I need to write out this pattern or I need to do this sponsored post for this client or I need to. And if I don't schedule it out, I just kind of sit there going, how do I do my life?
It's the like, whole I deciding really thing. As soon as you have to decide, it's taking up mental space that does not need to be used. And also you always choose the easiest job first. Like
you do choose the easiest job or you just put off everything and you go, I'm just going to fuck around on Facebook for a while. So I've been using Actions app and that talks to my time page app. They're both by Moleskine and they're just awesome. So I schedule out my whole day and have that all written out and then I just tick things off as I do it because that way I'm never left wondering exactly what I'm supposed to be doing at any given time of the day. So for instance, after this, I have to do some Instagram scheduling and I'm going to be fried at the end of recording our podcast. And ordinarily I just kind of sit there and go, well, what am I going to do now? But because I know what I need to do after the podcast, I just go move straight onto it. I'm the same with lunch. I need to take a proper lunch break. And I often try to skip over it, but it's just always such a mistake. So I always try to make my lunch and then I crochet while listening to a podcast for half an hour to give my eyes a break from screens. And I crap out so hard in the afternoon. If I don't do that, I need to remove myself from that hardcore. What about evening non-negotiables, Kel?
Okay. So our evening non-negotiable, and this, I say this not because I think everyone should do it. I say this because this is what works for our family. And I know this is not realistic for most families, but we aim to have dinner made, eaten and cleaned up from by 6:30 p.m. So what this does is we have like quite a hardcore evening routine because it's quite compressed. So this, you know, if everything's cleaned up from by 6:30, then this gives Aunt and myself half an hour to an hour to just chill with the kids in the living room and wind down before they go to bed. The next non-negotiable is the kids to be in bed, like literally good night. So if they want to do any messing around of brushing teeth and taking 2 hours and asking for cups of, you know, cups of water and cups of milk. All that's got to be done by 7:30 at the latest. So then Ant and I watch our one show, which is currently The Good Wife. And any Good Wife watchers out there, season 4, Kalinda's storyline, kill me now. What are they doing? Let's talk about it in the group. No spoilers. And then we aim to be in bed ourselves by 8:30 p.m. because the reason that's a non-negotiable is because I need to be able to read myself to sleep, and that usually takes 45 to 60 minutes, and I need to be able to wake up at 4:15 a.m. and I need 7 hours sleep, so that's why I've got to be in bed by 8:30. So they are my – and this is why I have such a strict evening non-negotiable kind of routine is one show, because if we try and binge and have more than one show, then I can't get up in the morning and then my whole day is screwed. So yes, your evening non-negotiables.
I'm exactly the same, but ours is just kind of skewed several hours later than yours. So we're night people in our house, so we do laptops down, phones away by 9 p.m. so that we have a few hours before I properly go to bed at about 11:30.
How is that? I also have a whole evening, like, what is that?
That's the same I feel like for 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm kind of like, there's another 4 o'clock in the day. I didn't know that. That's amazing. I've got a whole evening routine. So I make a cup of decaf tea and then I wash my face and I use my serum and my moisturizer and my eye cream. I set my schedule for the next day. I set all my alarms and then I hop into bed to read for a bit. But the evening before 9 p.m., it's all bets are off. Sometimes we finish work at 5 and we'll go for a walk or we'll go out for dinner. Sometimes we both have lots of stuff to do and we'll work right up until 9 o'clock. So it's very crazy up until then, but 9 o'clock is our definite tools down time. So what about weekend non-negotiables, Kelly?
Yeah. So in a similar vein to what you just said, like, you know, it's almost like going fast to go slow. So it's having periods of the day where, like, things are a bit, as you said, all bets are off and you just do the best you can. But the reason that you can do that is because you've got these periods where they're quite regimented or routine based. So on the weekend.
And you've got those schedules in place to protect you from that.
Yeah, that's right. And they just provide boundaries, because if you don't have any boundaries, it's very hard to have a nice life, basically. So mine.
We sound like such nerds.
But it's true.
Rules are good.
It's true. I'm going to have all these people going, I have a nice life and I have like no boundaries, so shut up. But my weekend non-negotiables are basically, they're all around ensuring that there are pockets of time on the weekend where I can move really, really slowly. And in that, and you know, and also just be totally commitment free. So on both Saturday and Sunday, I try to have an hour, and that, you know, when that hour is flexible around kids sport or if we go to watch the footy or whatever, but I try to make sure there is an hour where I can literally just lie on the couch, read a book or have a nap. And the important thing is that nobody is talking to me, because I find weekends very tiring because both kids are at home and I'm the go-to for every single question that they have. So I can get to 10 o'clock in the morning, because my whole house gets up early. By 10 o'clock in the morning, I would have had like 4 hours of people asking me questions, you know. So this is why I need to have all these buffer points in the weekend, both to make sure I can get through the weekend, but also just to make sure I can recharge properly. So yeah, so my weekend non-negotiables are – around having pockets of time where no one's talking to me and I can have a bit of quiet and mental downtime. So yes, that's my weekends. What about you? I bet yours are a little bit different to mine, Carl.
Yes, definitely. And people with kids are going to hate me, but our new one is coffee and cartoons in bed. So when we moved into our new house, there was a TV in the bedroom, and we like generally don't think TVs in bedrooms are a good idea. And we were kind of going, well, let's aim to not use it. But on Saturday mornings, we just kind of wake up and put it on. And then we found there was this adorable cartoon called We Bear Bears, which is like on the Kids Network. And they're these, I think it's a Japanese-based cartoon, and the bears live in San Francisco and they're like brothers. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And all of the episodes are really interesting and different. Like it's such a great show. So I go and get us coffee and then we watch We Bear Bears. And then we go and have a cup. I bring us a cup of tea. And then after that, we watch Texas Flippin' Move, which is...
I do not know what either of these things are, just by the way. So I'm laughing at the
names.
They're
amazing. They're just on free-to-air TV on Saturday mornings, and they're amazing. So Texas Flippin' Movies, where people in Texas buy houses and then they fix them up, but they're like the movable type of houses. So they buy it and then they fix it up, and then you see how much money they made by fixing it up. And so we kind of like bid on the houses and really get involved. And so that's our not negotiable on Saturday mornings, because we hardly ever just kind of sit and do things without like being on our laptops or watching something for a purpose, or, you know, it's just this really lovely time where we just lie there and just watch. And the part of the thing that's so fun about it is that we just watch what's on TV. Like, we don't make a decision about it. It's just whatever is available there, which is, it's so good. We also leave the house to do errands. I usually like to hang out with friends on the weekend. Ben is perfectly happy not doing that, but I generally go a bit spare if I don't, you know, go and have a glass of wine with a girlfriend or something. And Sundays are always spent preparing for the week. So making meals, cleaning, changing the sheets, that kind of thing.
Very nice.
What about holiday not negotiables?
Oh, you'd hate to go to holidays with us. Our holidays are like the same as our weekends. Like, we just aim to move really slowly and do as little as possible. So, like, we're not touristy holidayers. We don't feel compelled to see the sights or go places.
We don't do that
either. We don't tick boxes. You know, we'll happily jump on board if somebody else is making the decisions and we don't have to think. And I think that's the key thing with us on holidays is, like, we don't want to use our brains. So if it requires logistics of any description, we don't want anything to do with that. But if someone else is doing logistics and just says, you have to be here at this time, we're totally on board. So I think that's the thing. And I do have a new holiday non-negotiable after being away with friends earlier this year. So friends with kids. It was so amazing. It was a complete revelation that if you go away with friends who have kids around the same age as your kids, all the kids play together. And because it's not their own brothers and sisters, there's not as much fighting. And then you get to do like adult things, like have conversations. And it was just amazing and a revelation. So kind of that's like, I'm now casting around people going, so what are you doing in the July school holidays? Want to go away with us? Because now we must go away with other people in our holidays.
Makes you sound like such a creeper. See, that's actually interesting that you say that, because my holiday not negotiable is we don't travel with other people.
Yeah.
Because it just never works out well for us. Every time we go away with other people, we're like, other people are the worst. Like,
you have to be matched. Like, I think you have to, it can't be just any family. It has to be a family where they're pretty chilled and the kids are going to get on well, but yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's my holiday not negotiable is, like, we like to travel alone, and if we have to travel with other people, we like to have our own car and do our own, like, have an escape route, because I don't want to be trapped in a car with, like, a whole bunch of people who are driving me freaking nuts, and I didn't know they were going to drive me nuts until I ended up with a car in them for, you know, like, 5 weeks around Australia. Like, that's just not fun at all. So yeah, that's that one. Let's move on to kicked ass. Kelly, what kicked ass for you this week?
Oh yeah, I had the best phone call with someone this morning, someone who I really love and admire. And she wanted to talk to me about me helping her with her next book. And I've actually had a few conversations like this in recent weeks, and it's hugely validating, and it's making me really happy at the moment, because something that has always made me happy in life has been the ability to work with smart people who I admire. And for a long time, I got to do that through building and designing websites for people, but I'm trying to kind of pivot away from website design at the moment. And yeah, being able to work with smart people who I admire on their books, it's just a joy and a privilege at the moment. And yeah, so that is my kicked ass for this week, Carls.
I really, really like that one, Kelly, because I know that when you started doing that work this year and you've been mentoring people, and I've actually been like hearing from people that are in your group that are getting a lot out of it as well. So, you know, Amelia from Undercover Architects?
Yes, you're working with her at the moment.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And she was just saying how much she loves being a part of that group and like how great it is. And yeah, so it's really nice seeing you create something this year that you were kind of like, I just want to see where this is going, and just seeing it working and bringing you a lot of joy. I just think that's a really special thing. That's very nice.
Oh, thank you, Carl. Appreciate that.
My one for this week is that the app that I use, the Moleskin time page that Ben made, his company made, it is now on display devices in Apple stores.
Oh my gosh.
Which is huge. Yeah, it's massive. So they inquired about it a little while ago, and then they had like they, because Apple, bless their souls, are kind of dicks and they don't tell you anything.
Yes.
So they were like, oh, can you make a special version of your app that we can, like a really clean version of the app that we can put in all the devices. So what that means is like when you go into a into an Apple store and you use a device, there's select apps that are already on there so you can see what the app feels like, what the device feels like using certain apps. So it's a huge deal getting your app chosen for that because it's in all the stores. And so they basically said, oh, can you send us a clean version of it? Ben didn't hear anything. And then his brother sent us a photo of it in the Canberra store last week. So we know it's in the Canberra store. We don't know if it's anywhere else. So if you are in an Apple store and you have a moment, if you could pop in and check and see if the time page Moleskin app is on any of the devices, that would be great. So that's a, yeah, it's just a huge deal and I'm so proud of him and it's just a really cool thing.
Oh, that's so cool. And it is a great app. And a few people, a lot of people in the group have gotten onto it. And I think people who haven't, have had struggle to find it. So you've got to, I think you've got to type in specifically Moleskin time page and then, and then it will come up. Because I think if you just type in time page, it might not. Or maybe that was the Actions app. Maybe you just typed in Actions.
Actions is different. Yeah, you have to type in Actions for that one. Cool. So what kicked our ass this week?
Oh. Well, yes. What kicked our ass this week is last week kicked my ass. It was one of those weeks where just there was just too much on and none of those things were really avoidable. It wasn't like I stupidly, mindlessly overcommitted myself. It was just a lot of things fell in the same week. So, you know, it was a public holiday, which made for a short working week. My daughter's birthday was that week and I had a little party for her, combined with something at school, combined with weekend sport. And then Aunt, you know, Jade and I went to the footy on Saturday and then Aunt went to the footy on Sunday and then there was another birthday party and it was just all a bit too much and I was completely smashed by the end of the week. And interestingly, not even by necessarily the various activities themselves, but just by the sheer logistics of them all. So maybe I will just say last week didn't kick my ass, logistics kicked my ass and the need for tightly managed timelines. And it's interesting because I used to live my life this way constantly many years ago, but I trained myself out of that habit and I created a lot of space in my life to not be on the edge of like I was last week. And I guess it was just a nice reminder of the changes that I've made, which have been good and why I don't live like that anymore. So yes, Carls, what kicked your ass last week?
Nothing in particular. My main thing is that I'm just quite tired in general this week. And I think it's a combination of just working on too many things, Ben being away. That means that I work a lot more and don't rest as much as I should because I just get this, like, all of this time when he goes away, which I don't understand because it's not like he's a time sucker or anything.
Isn't that weird?
But when it's so weird, but when I'm completely alone, I kind of get all my work done and then I work on extra projects and then I do another little thing and then I watch something and then I make myself dinner and then I'm like, oh my God, it's only 8:30. What am I going to do with the rest of my night? Like,
you go to bed early.
And so I just end up, oh no, I just lie there just freaking out. That tired kind of thing. And I'm also starting the next challenge at my gym. And I also had a 30th and a wedding on Friday and Saturday last week. So I was pretty wrecked by Sunday. But yeah, just general tiredness. But apart from that, nothing else really. And that just about wraps it up. So don't forget that we have a book available for sale. It's about diets and lifestyle detoxes. You can buy it at straightandcurly.com. Just click on the book tab. We also have a Patreon page.
Yes. So remember, we do have two goals for that Patreon page. The first of which is to reach $500 per month of pledges. We're 2/3 of a way towards that goal. And yeah, it would be, if you love listening to the show and you want to support it, just visit patreon.com/straightandcurly.
I'd also like to thank our newest patrons, Emma, Jane, Rachel, Jody, Mia, Sherry, Carly, Lauren, Joanne. It was a big list this week. And I want to put a special thank you out to Matt Fenwick, who pledged this month and popped a note in the Facebook group reminding people to pledge. We got 18 pledges in March, and a lot of those came shortly after Matt's shout out. So thank you so much for that. We just appreciate every dollar that goes towards the podcast, and you've all been so supportive. It's been a very, very good, lovely month of pledges. So thank you.
Thanks, guys. Because, yeah, that all that does is it just helps us pay the production costs of the show. It's, yeah, we're definitely not driving around in Lamborghinis just yet. okay, and just to finish up, we would love you guys to jump into the Facebook group discussion for this week and tell us what are your non-negotiables, daily, weekly, workday, holiday, all the non-negotiables. Let's just help us feel a little bit less like we're complete nerds. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.